Chapter 4. Test the Hypothesis. "Cadet Kirk, it is 0600 hours," a voice called, sharply dragging Jim out of a dream. He opened his eyes to a half-lit, unfamiliar room. He was lying on a couch, a light blanket draped tucked around his body, making him feel even warmer in the hot room. He started to kick off the blanket, aware he was still in his clothes, except for his shoes. "Have you obtained a sufficient amount of rest?" Sennett continued. Jim looked down to see the boy, dressed in his usual robes, standing near Jim's feet. Jim propped himself up on his elbows to look around the room. Memories of the evening before still played in his head. Jim was still trying to sort them in their proper places. After the simulation, he had escorted Sennett home, and the boy had convinced him to try a cup of Vulcan tea, and he fell asleep. He dreamt of the simulation, of Spock demanding that Jim leave him to die, being physically pushed toward the exit, failing to grab the Vulcan in a desperate attempt to change his fate. It was especially jarring when he looked over to see the real Spock standing in the kitchen, dressed casually in a green tunic. He was filling something at the kitchen sink, ignoring Jim on the couch. "Yeah," he said, voice still groggy. "I'm sorry about crashing on your couch." Sennett blinked owlishly. "As no damage to the furniture was incurred, apologies are unnecessary. My cousin agreed that it was inefficient and illogical to wake you." Jim glanced back to where Spock was standing, his attention still fixed on his sink. Was he avoiding looking at Jim, or was he always so intense, or both? "Well, thanks then," he said, mostly to Spock. Sennett nodded, and Spock did not respond. Jim waited a beat before adding, "I better get going or I'll be late for class." He flung the blanket aside and started to get up. He caught Spock's fleeting glance up at him, but the Vulcan turned his back, carrying what looked like an odd teapot to a table. "You are to use the facilities here to ready yourself for the day," Sennett said, eyes darting between Jim and his elder cousin. "Food to break your fast will also be provided." Before Jim could object, Sennett plowed on. "If you do not, I have calculated that you are 82.4% likely to be late to class, causing a disturbance to the education of both you and our classmates." Jim appraised the boy skeptically. "How do you know that? You couldn't possibly calculate the odds." "His statistics are sound," Spock said from the other side of the room, placing the teapot on what looked like an ornate Bunsen burner on the dining table. Jim looked at the commander and shrugged. "Well, thank you for your hospitality. Again." Spock nodded in acknowledgement, his attention now absorbed in fiddling with a fancy Bunsen burner. Sennett marched off, leading Jim down a small hallway to his serviceable bathroom that had a stack of 7 towels and a toothbrush. "I will procure the appropriate garments," Sennett assured him. Jim smiled wanly and mentally steeled himself for walking into class wearing Vulcan robes. As soon as Sennett left, he jumped into the shower, surprised to find it was sonic like on a starship, and not the standard human water shower. Jim supposed this, as with the balmy indoor temperature, was a simple cultural difference. He made quick use of it, brushed his teeth with oddly flavored toothpaste, sandy and nutty flavored, and was trying to tame his hair when Sennett knocked softly on the door. He grabbed 2 of the many towels to tie around his waist and shoulders, guessing that he was expected to chastely cover himself in terry cloth. When he opened the door, he was surprised to see Spock standing outside with a hanger of clothes. Their eyes met, and Jim felt a delicious energy hum beneath his skin. "Yes, that," Jim thought. He felt it at the restaurant, and stronger in the simulation lab, like a magnetic field was pulling him toward the other man. "Sennett wishes to know if you have any allergies or dietary restrictions." Jim smirked. "You mean he hasn't deduced them all yet?" He has indicated that you have several, Spock replied. His lips tightened and his eyes softened, which gave an almost imperceptible impression of an amused expression. He has been banned from obtaining your personal medical records, so I am gathering this information in a more conventional manner. I appreciate the effort, Jim said, smiling ruefully. Well, I'm mostly allergic to shellfish, strawberries, soy, all root vegetables from Telos, and peanuts. That should cover most of it. Spock nodded and took a half-step leave, and then turned back as if belatedly remembering what was in his hand and held the cadet uniform out awkwardly to Jim. It will not fit properly, Spock said, before Jim could say anything, but it should be acceptable. Jim accepted the hanger, careful not to touch the other man's hands, and nodded gratefully. Spock stood half a moment longer, and then turned on his heels back toward the kitchen. Jim closed the door and held Spock's old uniform up to himself, pondering the exchange with a small smile. Who knew Vulcans were so adorable? Indeed, the uniform did not fit properly, slightly too long in all areas, but everything buttoned properly. When he came back into the open living area, Spock was standing over the stove, leaning over a skillet. Senex stood to the side, observing Spock's technique intently. Your clothes are adequate? Spock asked, then glanced up to verify that Jim would pass inspection. Jim felt a flush of warmth, probably not associated with the climate of the house. Yes, he replied. Thanks again. Spock nodded without comment. Can I help with anything? All has been addressed appropriately, with the exception of the eggs, as you see. I replicated them, unaware humans did not usually consume them in their raw form, Senek informed Jim. You didn't need to do that, Jim said. Spock gave him a look that was politely dismissive, a Vulcan shrug, as it were, and transferred half the eggs to Jim's plate with precise and practiced movements. He then transferred the rest to his own plate and carried them both to the table. Jim followed the two Vulcans to the table and took his seat between them. He was gratified to find coffee and not tea at his seat, unsurprisingly prepared the way he preferred. He had to admit that in this one instance, Senek's diligence to science had paid off for Jim. They began breakfast, Spock and Jim with plates of scrambled eggs and fruit, and Senek with a bowl of clear broth. After a solid minute of silent eating, Senek turned to Jim. Do you require the stimulation of small talk? Senek asked. Jim openly stared at the boy. No, but thanks. I have endeavored to read more about human social norms and pragmatics, Senek said. Humans desire to discuss trivial matters regarding weather, current events, and daily plans. Well, I'm not that much of a morning person, Jim said awkwardly. The silence is okay. Senek nodded solemnly, but Jim got the impression it was not the answer the boy was looking for. Unless you wanted to practice Terran small talk on me? Senek's eyebrows raised in surprise. Then he shook his head. Perhaps in this instance, I would observe. He glanced meaningfully at Spock, fork full of eggs hovering above his plate in surprise. Jim suspected that Spock wasn't keen on the idea, but didn't know a way to politely decline without it seeming like Jim wasn't interested. Because Jim was. Interested, that is. Interested in learning more about Spock. Surprisingly, Spock spoke first. Do you have a busy day today, cadet? Jim nodded, schooling his face into a polite expression for Senek's scrutiny. It's Friday, so I have all my classes in the morning, followed by a long shift at the library. Do you find work in the library appealing? Spock asked. Jim noticed that Senek was absolutely still, adopting the same posture and expression he did while in their morning lecture. It pays the bills, Jim said casually. I can study while I work, which has allowed me to fast-track through my academy courses. I graduate in a few months.
Some do not share your diligence or efficiency, Spock remarked.
Well, I'm convinced my destiny is out there in the stars. To wait and spend more time here just seems illogical.
Spock tilted his head, considering.
Your performance in the lab would suggest that you are well suited for duty aboard a starship.
Jim smiled at that.
You don't think I was taking unnecessary chances?
I think I am able to believe both of those statements simultaneously, Spock said, making Jim laugh.
I don't deny it. What about you? What do you teach?
Advanced phonology.
Jim was curious what a linguistics instructor was doing in the zero-grav simulation lab last night, but Spock continued,
I will take my commission as first officer aboard the Enterprise when term ends.
Jim perked up at that, very impressed. The Enterprise. Growing up in her shadow in Riverside, it was all he could see when he envisioned his future.
That's a fantastic ship, Jim said, not without a fair bit of envy.
Before he could ask more, Senek interrupted.
Cadet Kirk, we must depart in the next 2 minutes if we are to be punctual, Senek said, standing up to take his bowl to the recycler.
Jim took his cup and plate, followed suit, and then turned to Spock, who was still finishing his eggs.
Thank you for the gracious hospitality of your house, Jim said, in accented Vulcan.
He looked up from his meal, his gaze unwavering.
Veling, Spock replied.
You are welcome.
Jim smiled and followed Senek out the door and down the path to the public transport to campus. When they entered the lecture hall, Jim moved a couple seats over from his usual spot and gestured for the boy to sit, still giving the boy a bubble of personal space.
So I can observe you observing me, Jim explained.
Senek did not comment or object. In addition to reading for his next class, his mind wandered to Lieutenant Commander Spock. There was some chemistry there, but Jim was uncertain if he was misreading the Vulcan. Regardless, he was already silently plotting how he could run into Spock again. He had to return the uniform, after all.
You sly dog, Bone said, punching him in the arm. I didn't even see you leave the bar. Who do you leave with?
The annoying Vulcan child, Jim replied, smirking at the doctor's look.
I just made sure the kid got home safe and crashed on a couch somewhere, Jim explained, not wanting to go into the whole story of fell asleep on kid's couch, now wearing Vulcan professor's old uniform that smells like him, and I like it.
Bone's eyes narrowed, but didn't ask any more questions.
So Christine? Jim asked, glad when the doctor's eyes got a little misty and distracted.
Yeah, she's great, Bone said. She's got third shift tonight at the hospital, so I'm bringing her breakfast tomorrow.
Jim batted his eyes and put on his best sappy pout.
Oh, Leonard, why don't you ever make me breakfast?
Breakfast is for people you actually like, idiot, Bones grumbled defensively.
Jim thought back to a plate of scrambled eggs with a soft expression, to the doctor's unending annoyance.
Monday came, and Jim found himself at his usual spot in the dining hall with Bones.
Don't turn around, Bones muttered, discreetly covering his mouth with a napkin. Vulcan at your starboard quarter.
Jim sighed. Senek really didn't know when to take a hint.
He's still staring at you, Bones commented.
Jim rolled his eyes and turned around, ready to choose Senek out for his behavior. He was brought up short when he met the intense gaze of Spock. His stomach did a funny flip as the Vulcan gestured to the empty seat at his table, apparently expecting Jim to join him. Spock searched Jim out. Why, he wasn't sure, but he was going to find out. Jim glanced back over at his roommate, who was wearing a disbelieving look.
You make the oddest friends.
Jim shrugged and stood to join Spock.
It's my winning personality, I think.
Bones rolled his eyes and stood to leave for his shift at the med facility. Jim approached Spock's table, energy humming beneath his skin.
Cadet Kirk, Spock said in greeting.
Commander Spock, Jim replied, just as formally, and set his tray down and took the seat opposite him.
It is pleasing to see you, Spock said.
You don't have to attempt small talk now. We aren't being watched, Jim assured him, a small smile that he was sure Spock returned with his eyes.
I did not mean it as a human pleasantry, Spock replied honestly.
Jim smiled wider, holding Spock's warm gaze. He knew he must look ridiculous, was positive Bones was making gagging noises across the dining hall, but he didn't really care.
Well, it's good to see you too, Jim finally managed. I have your uniform for you. I wasn't sure how you wanted me to return it.
That was a lie. Jim had the uniform for 2 whole days, cleaned, pressed, and hanging up in his closet. He was still mapping out the best way to return the garment to Spock, while still ensuring that the exchange would extend into something more than just a simple drop-off.
I will be in the Cochrane building tomorrow, 1800 hours, Spock suggested.
I can bring it there, he said, slightly disappointed. There went his excuse to visit Spock at his home again.
I'm attending a lecture on computer science application for transwarp theory, Spock added.
Dr. Dwega, right? Jim asked.
Spock nodded, and Jim perked up. She's working on some very interesting ideas that could really revolutionize Starfleet engineering.
Spock nodded in agreement. On a ship as large as the Enterprise, her theories could improve system efficiency dramatically. I thought you would want to attend as my guest, given your interest in the Enterprise.
Jim was flattered that Spock remembered his interest in that ship in particular.
That would be great. Thank you, sir.
Spock hesitated, then continued.
There's a restaurant across from the lecture hall, if you would care to join me for dinner afterward.
Jim processed the words for a moment. The last time he was asked to dinner by a Vulcan, he had misunderstood quite a bit.
Would you characterize this dinner as platonic?
Spock shook his head carefully, searching Jim's face.
If my romantic advances are unwelcome, I apologize and will desist immediately.
Jim felt like telling Spock he could advance on him right here on the dining table, and Jim wouldn't mind, but he didn't think Spock's Vulcan sensibilities would appreciate the innuendo.
No, I mean, yes, dinner sounds good, Jim said, trying to tamp down on his enthusiasm.
It all sounds great.
Spock's lips tightened again, and Jim was now positive it was a smile. Unbeknownst to the pair, a Vulcan boy with digital binoculars was waiting behind a recycling station, observing the entire exchange with relish.